RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome to our English Bulletin program. In today's edition, we present you news commentary, Today in History, Focus and News in Brief. We'll continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We will end our program with Music Corner. That's our program for today. Now stand by with the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news with me, Rahma. Here is the news first headlines. Indonesia carries out intensive diplomacy on Rohingya. Indonesian banking industry to post triple-double-digit growth. Now the news in detail. Foreign Minister Retno LP Marsudi has said the Indonesian government is carrying out intensive diplomacy to help resolve the humanitarian conflicts that have affected Rohingya Muslims in Rakhine, Myanmar. Retno, as quoted by Antara on Sunday, said, through its diplomatic efforts, Indonesia was striving to bridge communications between Myanmar and Bangladesh, whose relations had continued to worsen because of conflicts in their border areas. She said what was being conducted by the government was one of Indonesia's missions, namely to carry out a free and active foreign policy and to participate in maintaining world peace. She admitted it was not that easy to solve horizontal conflicts in Rakhine, Myanmar, because of religious sentiments that had triggered the conflicts. To be able to participate actively in resolving the humanitarian conflicts, Retno said she did not hesitate to seek advice from leaders of religious organizations in Indonesia. Retno further said President Joko Widodo, or Jokowi, had ordered her to meet with Myanmar de facto leader Aung San Suu Kyi in the latter's private residence in Myanmar recently. In the meeting, Retno further said, she and Suu Kyi also agreed to organize a follow-up ASEAN foreign ministerial meeting to discuss Rohingya refugee problems. Referring to business plans already submitted by banking players, the Financial Services Authority, or OJK, has predicted that the Indonesian banking industry will post a triple-double-digit growth in 2017. OJK Chairman Mulyaman Hadad recently said the amount of the bank's total assets will grow by 11.28%. He said the bank's business plans have still shown some optimism in 2017. He further explained that as of November, the banking industry loan grew by 8.46% year-on-year, while the third-party fund increased by 8.4%. He also added the non-performing loans, which had become a problem in 2016, will decrease in 2017. Vice Chairman of Commission 9 of the Indonesian House of Representatives, Partaonan Daulay Saleh, on Sunday, appreciated the work of the Directorate General of Immigration of the Ministry of Justice and Human Rights for having deported many foreigners who are found in violation of the immigration document. According to Directorate General of Immigration, during 2016, 7,787 foreigners have been deported. Directorate General of Immigration announced the results of the control operation and security of the New Year Eve. In the operation, hundreds of foreigners netted for committing an administrative violation. A total of 76 are massage therapists and allegedly commercial sex workers from China. According to Soleh, it is very easy to find jobs in Indonesia, even if they use a travel visa. That is because their work should not be done more than 30 days, and it is hard to be monitored. Soleh expected enhanced supervision. Soleh hopes the immigration can cooperate with a number of parties to maximize the role of oversight of the movement of foreigners in Indonesia. The Indonesian Ministry of Health has said that avian flu is one of the diseases to watch out for in 2017. M. Subuh, the ministry's Director General of Disease Control and Prevention, recently said there were no cases of avian flu in 2016 in Indonesia. But it began to spread in China, and it needs to be on alert in 2017. To prevent an outbreak, his Directorate General will seek to carry out early prevention measures. The Health Ministry has also prepared several types of medicine, such as Tamiflu and antibiotics to treat the disease. In addition to the bird flu, other diseases that must be watched out for are the dengue fever and the HIV virus. According to Subuh, both diseases are still lurking every year. To maximize monitoring and surveillance over the potentials for these illnesses, he said the ministry will utilize facilities provided by the Emergency Operation Center, or EOC. The EOC is a 24/7 monitoring center equipped with a variety of technologies to detect the presence of disease in the community. Indonesian Youth and Sports Minister Imam Nahrawi in 2016 Years and Reflection in Jakarta said Indonesia does not set targets in the SEA Games in 2017 following the achievement orientation in the 2018 Asian Games and Olympic Games 2020. SEA Games 2017, he said, as a multi-sport championship of Southeast Asia, would only be a stepping stone for the Indonesian athletes, especially on a number of prioritized sports. Although Indonesia does not set targets, Nahrawi will still provide a bonus for any athlete who won medals in the SEA Games in 2017. But the value is different from the previous events. A team of divers will be sent to find missing victims of KM Zahro Express that caught fire while sailing around the Bidadari Island in the Seribu Islands waters in North Jakarta on Sunday morning. The Director of Sea and Coast Surveillance of the Ministry of Transportation, Victor Vicky Subroto, at a press conference Sunday evening said on Monday, five divers are deployed to find the missing passengers. He also said all passengers have been evacuated to Muara Angke Port, while KM Zahro Express has been towed to Kali Adem Port for investigation. 23 people have been found dead, while 194 others have been saved, but 17 passengers are still missing. An officer at the Disaster Mitigation and Control Operation Center, Sepli Madreta, confirmed to Antara. The last item. The National Disaster Mitigation Agency, or BPBD, said more than 48 people are still hospitalized after a boat fire on Sunday that killed 23 on waters off North Jakarta. Jakarta BPBD Chief Denny Wahyu said on Monday to Radio Republik Indonesia, 32 of the injured were admitted to Atmajaya Hospital in Jakarta. The rest have been treated at Pluit Hospital, Gatot Subroto Army Hospital, Pertamina Central Hospital, Tarakan General Hospital, and Pantai Indah Kapuk Hospital in Jakarta. The victims suffered burns of various degrees. Denny said some of them still need to be hospitalized. The Zahro Express tourist boat caught fire after departing from Muara Angke Port for popular tourist destination Tidung Island in Jakarta's Thousand Islands district on Sunday morning. More than 190 passengers were evacuated to safety by the Water Police, BPBD, Search and Rescue Agency, and Indonesian Red Cross. At least 17 people are still missing. Well, listener, that was the news from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Coming up next is commentary, and today's commentary is on President Joko Widodo's Green Report Card. Indonesian President Joko Widodo, or better known as Jokowi, has just been named as the leader with the best report among 8 countries in Asia and Australia, according to Bloomberg version. The world leaders are Chinese President Xi Jinping, Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe, Prime Minister of India Narendra Modi, South Korean President Park Geun-hye, President of Indonesia Joko Widodo, President of the Philippines Rodrigo Duterte, Malaysian Prime Minister Najib Razak, and Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull. Based on Bloomberg data received by Antara News Agency on Saturday, Joko Widodo or Jokowi is the only leader of a country that has a positive performance from all aspects assessed. Some aspects are, among others, raising the strength of the exchange rate to 2.41%, maintaining economic growth to remain positive, namely 5.02% year-on-year scale, and having a high level of public acceptance, namely 69%. This data also obtains results that compared with other countries that have similar economic level or greater, Jokowi still has more prominent achievements. The Jokowi result is really noticeable when compared to Malaysia and the Philippines, which have negative exchange rates, namely 4.26 and 5.29% respectively. Jokowi is considered to be able to emphasize his authority to the political institution in 2016, where he controlled 2/3 of the seats in the parliament. His successful tax amnesty program is also considered to be able to finance infrastructure development. The predicate, of course, is good news for the Indonesian nation amidst the political situation in the country, which is getting hotter prior to simultaneous regional elections, which will be held in February 2017. The leadership of President Joko Widodo received praise abroad. Interestingly, Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte has the highest level of public acceptance, namely 83%. This means Duterte is more popular in the country than Jokowi, who, for some reason, is less preferred by some people, especially among his political opponents. Nevertheless, Duterte is not as skillful as Jokowi in stabilizing the exchange rate. Peso exchange rate drops to -5.29%. The ratings are based on research conducted by Bloomberg and social weather stations from January 2016 until September 2016. Hopefully, the predicate achieved by President Joko Widodo as the leader of the country with the best report among the 8 countries in Asia and Australia, according to Bloomberg version, can become a trigger towards a better Indonesia so as to creating good quality economic growth, reducing poverty, pressing inequalities, creating employment opportunities, and narrowing the infrastructure gaps. That was commentary today on President Joko Widodo's Green Report Card. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with Today in History, a regular item which bring back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's start with January 2, 1942, when Manila was occupied by the Japanese. Japan launched an attack on the Philippines on December 8, 1941, just 10 hours after their attack on Pearl Harbor. Initial aerial bombardment was followed by landings of ground troops both north and south of Manila. The defending Philippine and United States troops were under the command of General Douglas MacArthur, who had been recalled to active duty in the United States Army earlier in the year and was designated commander of the United States Armed Forces in the Asia-Pacific region. The aircraft of his command were destroyed. The naval forces were ordered to leave, and because of the circumstances in the Pacific region, reinforcement and resupply of the ground forces were impossible. Under the pressure of superior numbers, the defending forces withdrew to the Bataan Peninsula and to the island of Corregidor at the entrance of Manila Bay. Manila, declared an open city to prevent its destruction, was occupied by the Japanese on January 2, 1942. The next event was in 1962 when Mandala Command was established on December 19, 1961. Indonesia's President Soekarno decreed the establishment of the People's Triple Command or Trikomando Rakyat or Trikora in order to annex West Irian by January 2, 1962. Trikora's operational command was to be called the Mandala Command for the liberation of West Irian, with Major General Suharto, then future President of Indonesia, serving as the commander. In preparation for the planned invasion, the Mandala Command began making land, air, and sea incursion into West Irian. As a result, Indonesia embarked on a policy of confrontation against the Dutch over control of Western New Guinea. Sukarno also embarked on a policy of progressive mobilization to prepare the nation to carry out his commands. And the last is from January 2, 1992, when Boris Yeltsin ordered the liberalization of foreign trade, prices, and currency. On January 2, 1992, Boris Yeltsin, acting as his own prime minister, ordered the liberalization of foreign trade, prices, and currency. At the same time, Yeltsin followed a policy of macroeconomic stabilization, a harsh austerity regime designed to control inflation. Under Yeltsin's stabilization program, interest rates were raised to extremely high levels to tighten money and restrict credit to bring state spending and revenues into balance. Yeltsin raised new taxes heavily, cut back sharply on government subsidies to industry and construction, and made steep cuts to state welfare spending. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. Today's focus is on the Government of Indonesia facilitates the development of small and medium industries. The Indonesian government continues to encourage the development of small and medium industry nationwide. Increased population and employment competitiveness become a priority for the government in the improvement of small and medium industry. Citing Antara News Agency report, Minister of Industry Erlangga Hartanto in Jakarta on Friday said, to support the development of small and medium industry, the government, through the Ministry of Industry, will continue its coordination and synergy with all stakeholders in implementing various strategic programs. Minister Erlangga Hartarto said small and medium industries, which have become the dominant sector in the domestic industry population, plays an important role as the backbone of the national economy. Especially in the midst of global economic slowdown, small and medium industries virtually unaffected and relatively stable growth. Based on data from the Ministry of Industry, during the last 5 years, the contribution of small and medium industrial sector to the growth of non-oil industry increased from 57.84% to 60.34%. In addition, export of small and medium industries in the period of January to November 2016 reached $24.7 billion, or contributing 24.8% to the total export of non-oil and gas industry. Small and medium industries have also been able to absorb most of the labor compared to other sectors. The growth of small and medium industry during 2016 was better than the previous year. Earlier, the Ministry of Industry through the Directorate General of Small and Medium Industries signed a Memorandum of Understanding with the Association of Indonesian Indigenous Entrepreneurs in order to create new small and medium industries. As quoted by Kompas.com, Chairperson of the Association Suryani Motix Siddiq said, "The cooperation with the government is expected to increase the number of new businesses, including helping the realization of the target of 20,000 entrepreneurs." Suryani said the Indonesian Indigenous Entrepreneurs Association members are currently approximately 15,000 throughout Indonesia, with a variety of industry sectors such as fashion, footwear, food, and crafts. On that occasion, the Director General of Small and Medium Industry, Ministry of Industry, Gati Wibawa Ningsih, said the period of this MOU is 3 years, the scope of which includes the improvement of human resources of small and medium industries, the provision of information in obtaining access to financing, and assistance to improve quality management in facilitating access to finance. As for some small and medium industry sector, which have become a priority to be trained and nurtured, among others, are in the fields of food, fashion, and crafts. Well, that was focused today on the government of Indonesia facilitates the development of small and medium industries. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with news in brief. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno LP Marsudi has said the Indonesian government is carrying out intensive diplomacy to help resolve the humanitarian conflicts that have affected Rohingya Muslims in Rakhine, Myanmar. Referring to business plans already submitted by banking players, the Financial Services Authority, or OJK, has predicted the Indonesian banking industry will post a triple-double-digit growth in 2017. Vice Chairman of Commission 9 of the Indonesian House of Representatives, Partaunan Daulay Saleh, on Sunday, appreciated the work of the Director General of Immigration of the Ministry of Justice and Human Rights for having deported many foreigners who are found in violation of the immigration document. The Indonesian Ministry of Health has said avian flu is one of the diseases to watch out for in 2017. M. Subuh, the ministry's Director General of Disease Control and Prevention, recently said there were no cases of avian flu in 2016 in Indonesia, but it began to spread in China and people need to be on alert in 2017. Indonesian Youth and Sports Minister Imam Nahrawi in 2016 Years and Reflection in Jakarta said Indonesia does not set targets in SEA Games in 2017, following the achievement orientation in the 2018 Asian Games and Olympic Games 2020. A team of divers will be sent to find missing victims of KM Zahro Express that caught fire while sailing around the Bidadari Island in the Seribu Islands waters in North Jakarta on Sunday morning. The last news, the National Disaster Mitigation Agency, or BPBD, said more than 48 people are still hospitalized after a boat fire on Sunday that killed 23 on waters of North Jakarta. Well, listener, that was news in brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Dear heads and members of RRI Voice of Indonesia, I wish for all of you happy holidays, be healthy, and stay close to your loved ones, and try every time to look beyond the horizon of everyday life. I wish that the year 2016 will bring you new aspiration, new objectives, and as every beginning, fills your heart with hope for a little more happiness, prosperity, and other things that we think are good, positive. The beginning of the year is always special because whatever situation we find ourselves always make us go back to each other and to wish each other good and beautiful things. And every new beginning brings new opportunities For those who therefore dream more, to want harder, fight harder firstly, not less to love more beautiful. Happy holidays and happy new year. With appreciation forever, Vicențiu Gheorghe from Romania.
Thank you for still listening at RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with English Bulletin. Next segments, we have Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, it is great to speak to you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you to visit East Java Province. Stay tuned. Listeners, Malang City is beautiful and is teeming with the wonders of nature, such as Bruggeers beaches, which are located in the south of Malang City. Besides beaches, there are many beautiful and exotic tourism attractions in Malang. Recently, the location of some waterfalls in Indonesia were spread across social media. One of those waterfalls was Coban Rais Waterfall in Malang, East Java. Listeners, the Coban Rais Waterfall is a tourist destination that provides campgrounds for visitors. Previously, this place was called Coban Sabrangan, which means that if you want to come to this waterfall, you must cross 14 rivers to get it. The Coban Rais Waterfall has crystal clear water, which falls from cracks in rocks as high as 70 meters from the ground. The waterfall itself is on the slope of Mount Panderman, which has an altitude of approximately 1,150 meters above sea level. The Coban Rais Waterfall is located at Dressel Hamlet in the Oro Oro Ombo village, Batu City in East Java Province. The waterfall is around 25 kilometers from Malang City. Listeners, to get to Coban Rais Waterfall, tourists must trek there. Because of the difficulty in getting to Coban Rais, one should have excellent stamina and bring enough food and beverages for the trip when going down the hills and river. After arriving at the location, tourists are not only able to enjoy the scenery of the waterfall, but tourists can also view all of Malang and the surrounding area from the Gumuk Hills. The hills have a distance of around 1600 meters from the gateway of the waterfall. Listeners, the Coban Rais Waterfall Complex has been recently completed with some public facilities, such as toilet, parking space, and also food stalls, which provide refreshments of weary travelers. The entrance ticket for the waterfall is only 5,500 per person. If you drive your own car, you will be charged a parking fee of 2,000 rupiah for a motorcycle and 3,000 rupiah for car. Well, listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Coban Rais in the East Java Province. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today we feature a topic entitled Kehilangan Kartu ATM, which in English means missing the ATM card. Stay tuned. As usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic of conversation. I'll say them slowly and you can repeat after me. Kehilangan. Kehilangan in English. To lose or to miss. Kartu. Kartu in English, card. Anjungan tunai mandiri. Anjungan tunai mandiri, in English, automated teller machines or ATM. Kelihatan, kelihatan, in English, to seem or to look. Semangat, semangat, in English, spirit. Akhir pekan, in English, weekend. Libur panjang, long vacation. Mencari, mencari, to look for. Menemukan, menemukan, to find. Tenang, tenang, be quiet. Terakhir, terakhir, the last. Gunakan, gunakan, to use. Di mana, di mana, where. Pusat perbelanjaan, pusat perbelanjaan, shopping center. Bank, bank, in English, bank. Mengurus, mengurus, to take care. Baru, baru, new. Syarat, syarat, requirement. Tahu, tahu, to know. Surat laporan, surat laporan, notification letter. Polisi, polisi, police. Buku tabungan, buku tabungan, saving book. Kartu tanda pengenal, kartu tanda pengenal, ID card. Now, listener, we give you an example of conversation entitled Kehilangan Kartu ATM, or in English means missing the ATM card. The conversation is between A. Andi and B. Tono at the office. I'll say the sentence twice slowly, and you can repeat after me. A. Andi. Hai Tono, mengapa kamu kelihatan tidak bersemangat? Hai Tono, mengapa kamu kelihatan tidak bersemangat? In English, Hai Tono, why do you look so sad? Akhir pekan kita akan libur panjang. Akhir pekan kita akan libur panjang. In English, this weekend will be a long vacation. B. Tono, Aku sedang mencari kartu ATM-ku. Aku sedang mencari kartu ATM-ku. In English, I'm looking for my automated teller machines or ATM card. Saya tidak bisa menemukan kartu itu semalam. Saya tidak bisa menemukan kartu itu semalam. In English, I did not see the card last night. A. Andy, coba tenang dulu. Coba tenang dulu. In English, keep calm, okay? Terakhir kamu gunakan di mana? Terakhir kamu gunakan di mana? In English, where did you use it lately? B. Tono, di tempat perbelanjaan kemarin. Di tempat perbelanjaan kemarin. In English, at the shopping center. Aku sudah cari di mana-mana tetapi tidak ketemu. Aku sudah cari di mana-mana tetapi tidak ketemu. In English, I have looked for it everywhere, but I cannot find it. A. Andy, menurut aku lebih baik kamu ke bank dan urus kartu ATM baru. Menurut aku, lebih baik kamu ke bank dan urus kartu ATM baru. In English, I suggest you to go to the bank and take care of a new ATM card. B. Tono, apakah kamu tahu apa saja syaratnya? Apakah kamu tahu apa saja syaratnya? In English, do you know what are the requirements? A. Andy, kamu datang ke bank dengan membawa surat laporan kehilangan dari polisi. Kamu datang ke bank dengan membawa surat laporan kehilangan dari polisi. In English, you come to the bank by carrying the letter of losing report from the police. Juga, jangan lupa membawa buku tabungan kamu. Juga, jangan lupa membawa buku tabungan kamu. In English, do not forget to bring your saving book. Dan yang penting, jangan lupa membawa kartu tanda pengenal. Dan yang penting, jangan lupa membawa kartu tanda pengenal. In English, and most importantly, do not forget to bring your ID card. B. Tono, baiklah, saya akan segera mengurusnya. Baiklah, saya akan segera mengurusnya. Terima kasih. Terima kasih. In English, all right, I will take care of it. Thank you. Well, listener, that was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, it can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again with a different topic. Thank you for your attention. See you again tomorrow. And sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, we will dedicate to you an Indonesian talented male singer, Mus Mulyadi. Listener, to initiate the segment of Music Corner, let's listen to a song entitled Kota Solo by Mus Mulyadi.
Kesenian asli
Listener, as the title, the song tells about the Solo city in Central Java. Bengawan Solo is one of icons which become the city's attractiveness. Solo is also the city of memory to entertain those who broken-hearted. Mus Mulyadi was born in Surabaya with the name Mulyadi. He grew up in Surabaya, East Java. His talent in singing grown spontaneously due to the impact of his family, who are indeed artists. His three siblings chose their career in singing. Sumiati was a kroncong singer in the Netherlands, and his older brother Mulyono as a kroncong singer in Surabaya, while his younger brother Mus Mujono chose jazz and pop as his music career. Listener, the song Kota Solo was one of hits of Mus Mulyadi songs. Now, let's come to the next song entitled Jauh Sudah by Mus Mulyadi. Enjoy the song.
Yeah.
Listener, this song tells about someone who lost the beloved one with fully memories. However, she or he wishes to see him or her again. When he was adolescent, Mus Mulyadi formed a band named Irama Puspita. He coached many female singers for a few years to manage the entertainment stages. In 1967, Mus Mulyadi, along with his group, tried to run their music career in Singapore. It has 2 years in failure in Singapore. Then, Mus tried to be a song composer. He then composed the songs Sedetik di Balai Kasih, Jumpa dan Bahagia, Kroncong Jauh di Mata, and many other songs. He then brought the songs to the live recording Jurong in 1969. They directly made 2 pop albums and Kroncong in the form vinyl 1 plat. On the cover of the album, Mulyadi then began to use the name Mus Mulyadi as his permanent name. The additional word of Mus is taken from part of his mother's name. In Singapore, Mus Mulyadi managed to get $2,800. The group then went back to Jakarta as the day of Bung Karno, or Indonesia's first president, passed away. Well, listener, to conclude today's edition of Music Corner, let's listen to the last 2 songs entitled Dinda Bestari and Dewi Murni by Mus Mulyadi. Let's enjoy the songs and sampai jumpa.
Tersampai retak patah jiwa dari. Maafkan dindaku, beta lama tak bersuara karena sedang membela negara yang terserang bahaya. Doamu dicurinya, ku harapkan bersama. Sampaikanlah dindaku segera untuk Medan. Yang terserang bahaya, doa puji curita, ku harapkan bersama. Sampaikanlah dindaku segera untuk Medan.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
My friends, Christians in Indonesia and other parts of the world, I am the Ambassador of Mexico to Indonesia, Federico Salas. I wish you all a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Muchas felicidades, Feliz Navidad y un muy próspero Año Nuevo. Terima kasih.
Hello, for all the listeners of RRI Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, I am Teddy Lesmana from the Economic Center of the Indonesian Institute of Sciences. Wish Happy New Year 2017. I hope all of you can get the new opportunity and have better life in the coming years 2017. Thank you.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.